Join with me in prayer, would you? Father, thank you that the church is alive. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the head of the church. The church is just people that you've transformed by your grace and your love. And you filled us with your joy because you've forgiven us our sins and you've given us the hope of heaven. And I pray that everyone gathered here, everyone watching online, everyone in our patio, that your joy would be real to them. I pray that the sense of community that we have as believers, this unity of the Spirit, this common faith in Christ and connection through the love of Christ, it's not only common to us here, but with every believer everywhere, all over the world, that would give us joy. I pray, Father, that we'd see you. We'd be filled up with you. We'd have a big view of your love and grace and plan. And I pray that we'd internalize all those things that you say are true. We'd really believe that the truest thing about us is what you say is true. I pray, Father, that you give us hope and that the joy of Christ would cover our lives and our friendships and relationships and our attitudes and the choices that we make. Father, this morning, may your word speak right to our hearts. May your word set us free. May your word correct false thinking and strengthen true and right thinking. And may your word give us a tremendous hope. May every person leave here today having been gathered and singing your praises and hearing your word and being reminded of what you say about joy. May every one of us have the joy of the Lord as our strength. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching online, being on the patio. If you're there joining with us in worship today, I'm Pastor JP. We are continuing in this series that we've begun now for a couple weeks on this whole idea of joy. I shared with you there are over 500 Bible verses that talk about joy and rejoicing and being joyful. This is a value that God has for us. God wants us to be filled with joy. It's our birthright to have joy. And we live in a culture and time when we so desperately need joy. And people around us need joy. We're going to see in our study this morning that the joy that we can have in Christ is actually contagious. We can actually give it away and include other people in the joy that we have. And I've been using this illustration. There's a hula hoop up here. It's a circle. And I've been saying that, you know, all those verses, 500 Bible verses on joy and joyful and rejoicing, everything that God says about joy, everything that God wants to provide for us to have joy, for the sake of our thinking, it's in this circle. So to have joy, you have to be in this circle. To have joy, you got to experience what God's really describing and experience it God's way. Outside, there isn't joy. There may be momentary happiness, but it's fleeting, and it can leave us with a sense of emptiness because the longing for more isn't satisfied. So living outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, there will never be lasting joy. And there isn't joy if you have one foot in and one foot out. There are many people who are believers in Christ. They've come to experience Jesus, but they're still kind of being deceived to think that joy is somewhere out here. And it's not. And in many ways, this is even more frustrating because there's a sense in which you know you should have joy, but you don't have joy, and then you feel guilty for not having joy. Joy is in the circle. And you probably know this already from the messages that we've been looking at and the direction that we're going. It's all about our relationship with God and our relationship with people. Everything in the book of Philippians and everything in all the other passages about the source of joy, it's in a right relationship with God and a right relationship with people. I mean, Jesus nailed it exactly when he said the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors, you love yourself. So if there's a lack of joy in our life, it can be traced back to some diminished or misperceived aspect of our relationship with God or our relationship with people. That's where it's always found. God wants us to have joy. So he wants us to be in a healthy, positive, loving, growing relationship with him. And he wants us to be in a healthy, growing, positive relationship with people. Joy is right here. So Philippians gives us seven kind of joy principles for how we step into the circle. The first one we looked at is rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. That's it. Find our joy in the Lord. That's the first principle for experiencing joy. The second principle we unpacked last week, which is joy is found when we remember and give thanks and pray for the people who are a part of our spiritual journey. When we remember, give thanks, and pray for the people who are part of our spiritual journey. That gets us to step into the circle. So now here is the third joy principle, how we can actually step into the circle. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And then you'll shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So in this passage, the Apostle Paul says that he experienced joy and he actually rejoiced even while being poured out metaphorically like a drink offering. So even when he just sacrificed himself to the point of leaving it all on the field, he had great joy because his sacrifice was in connection with people. His sacrifice was in helping people grow, and his sacrifice was in experiencing a mutual joy with the people that he was connected with. So joy is found in being connected with and serving fellow believers. That's why the church is alive. The church is alive because the very life of Jesus Christ is present here. It's in each of us as individual believers. It's in us as the community of believers. And as we are connected the way Jesus intends us to be connected, and when we are serving one another the way Jesus intends us to serve one another, we have a mutual joy. We have a joy that's reciprocated. We have a joy that's actually contagious. I don't really like spiritual formulas, but that's the word that comes to mind when I think about walking through this passage. It's really more of just the truth as it's revealed here in Scripture. Relational connection to a spiritually growing community plus sacrificial service results in contagious joy. So relational connection to a spiritually growing community plus sacrificial service will result in contagious joy. You want contagious joy? Then have a relational connection to a spiritually growing community and serve and sacrifice yourself for that community. And the result will be a contagious, mutual, reciprocal joy. So let's see how this passage actually unpacks that. So Philippians 2 verses 12 to 18. Verse 12 says, therefore, my dear friends, just stop there. Friends. I like the way the New International translates this passage. Friends. When you think of church, do you think of friends? When you think of the community you're connected with in Christ, do you think of friends? Are people your friends? See, because a friend is someone you share more than just space with. A friend, there's an emotional investment that's reciprocated. The word is even richer. It's the Greek word agapetos. Agapetos. Beloved. It's a word that communicates more than just a kind of a Bible word. It's really a word that has that sense of relationship behind it. There's a love connection behind this word, and that's the way Paul thought about the people at Philippi that he was connected to and that he was serving and that he was praying for and that he wanted to see them grow and become all that God wanted for them in Christ. And as a result of that connection and that prayer and that service, he had joy in his life. And they had joy as well from the mutual relationship. This word, beloved, the famous radio Bible teacher, J. Vernon McGee, He would always end his radio broadcast by saying, "Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved." I don't know that he could actually have a beloved relationship with a radio audience, but we can have a beloved relationship with one another. You could have a beloved relationship with the person sitting next to you. You can have a beloved relationship with the people you're in a small group with. You could have a beloved relationship with the people you're doing Get Healthy with. Gals, you can have a beloved relationship with the women at your table in a Heartline study. Folks serving together at the food pantry, you can have a beloved relationship with the people that you're on a serving team with. You see, when we can have that eyeball-to-eyeball personal relationship, we can be friends with people. We can have a beloved relationship. And it takes that relational connection to experience this joy principle. And the church of Jesus, is to be characterized by this community where there are these beloved relationships. This past week, Pastor Greg and I, we had a little road trip. We got some tickets to a football game in Phoenix, again, the Cardinals against the Green Bay Packers. We flew to Phoenix. We went to the stadium. And, you know, stepping into that stadium, it was like a tailgate party on steroids. You know, there was all this energy and food and drink and people are laughing. And then you go inside the stadium and it was packed. Over 70,000 people watching this game. We had a blast. But that's not a beloved type relationship. We didn't have a beloved relationship with 70,000 people in a football stadium. Maybe your experience of church is coming to a big event or coming on Sunday morning and just kind of coming and going. That's not the means to real connection. But see, after the game, my brother lives in Phoenix, and after the game, we spent the night at my brother's. My brother's he's the one who led me to Christ. He follows Jesus. Three of us were sitting around the kitchen table and just talking about our relationship with God. That was connection, you see. The football, that was fun, but that wasn't really connection. Connection happens when you can get eyeball to eyeball with people and talk about your life and share what God's doing in your life and talk about what you see in the Bible and talk about how it's applying and how you're struggling to put it into practice. And you're doing some real life together. That's the beloved relationship that Paul's talking about here. There is a relational connection. And to get in this circle where we have joy, we need a relational connection with a growing community. You received a handout. Pastor Jordan referred briefly to it. But it talks about several relationally connecting opportunities that are coming up. Because this is a season, Thanksgiving and Christmas time, we got some serving opportunities. What a great way to step into connection by serving together. Maybe if you're new to Crossline, this would be a great way for you to meet some people and get to know some people and do something good for someone else in the process. And by the way, it's part of that relational connection that'll put you into the circle of joy. Maybe you're already in a group. Maybe you're in a community group or a Novo cohort, or maybe you're on a table at the call study for men's Bible study on Thursday morning or Thursday night, or maybe you're part of a table Bible study with a group of women in our Heartline study or one of our other studies. But your connection has just kind of plateaued. Remember, it's that relational agapetos connection that puts us in that circle to experience joy. So maybe taking it to the next level would be serving together as a group. Because there's a means by which when we kind of take our relationships to a deeper place of investing in one another spiritually, that's when we experience the joy that this passage is talking about. It says Paul modeled that because we looked at this last week. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8, he tells us a little bit about the spiritual connection he had with the people at Philippi. He says, "I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about you all. all, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. See, there was a relational connection. And it was a connection based on shared experience. If we want to step into the circle of joy, where the joy of the Lord is our strength, we've got to move closer to the people that God has placed in our life in the church. The church is alive when it's relationally connected. So Paul says here in this passage, relational connection to a spiritually growing community. So he's not just talking about relational connection to the Kiwanis Club. Relational connection to, the parents of our kids that are all on the soccer team, or relational connection to a PTA group, or relational connection to the Chamber of Commerce. Those are all important relationships, but this is relational connection to a spiritually growing community. You say, where do you get that, JP? Well, I get it in the description that Paul writes about as he's writing to the Philippian church, exhorting them to live out their calling in Christ. He says, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, and then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. This is the spiritually growing community that God is calling the church to. This is a spiritually growing community God's calling us to as a local church. This is the spiritually growing community that God is saying, if you as an individual are experiencing these dynamics and you're in relationship with other individuals who are experiencing these dynamics, then your community will be experiencing these dynamics. So we're to make a contribution by experiencing it ourselves, and make a contribution by helping one another. Paul defines his terms here with being a spiritually growing community by first of all saying, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. That word obeyed, it's a rich term. It's the Greek word hupakuo. Akuo is the verb to listen or to hear. Hupakuo means to listen attentively with a commitment to obey. That's two different types of listening. Listening just to hear the noise versus listening attentively with a commitment to obey. I shared in the first service, probably every pastor in America and around the world who's preaching a sermon this day would pray that his audience, his congregation, had a hupakuo response to his message. Listening attentively with a commitment to obey. That's the way God wants us to listen to his word. He wants us to listen to his word in a way that we're committed to obey it. We're not just getting information. We're not just learning facts. We're receiving a message from God that we're going to obey. That's the attitude that would bless the Lord. And by the way, it would bless this church if we all contributed to one another's spiritual growth by having that kind of attitude when we read God's word, when we're in a small group discussing God's word, or when we're gathered together in a worship service to receive God's word. Listening attentively with a commitment to obey. And Paul says, you guys did that when I was there. Keep doing it even when I'm not there. It's kind of funny being a pastor. I have thought this for a long time. I don't know, Pastor Greg, Pastor Kenny, you guys feel this way sometimes, but it's kind of weird being a pastor because I think of myself as JP, but some of you think of me as Pastor JP. I'll be in a social setting, a party or something, and kind of walk into a group with a group of people and go, hey, how y'all doing? And someone will kind of sarcastically, jokingly say, oh, we better watch it. The pastor's here. Now, Kathleen is laughing over here because she's saying, if you really knew JP, you would never feel that way because he'd probably take the conversation in the direction it shouldn't go in the first place. Be that as it may, Paul apparently had some type of spiritual juice with these people that he's saying, hey, don't obey because you're doing it for me. Obey to the Lord. Have God as your audience, right? We have God as the one we want to please. So whether someone's with you or not with you, you're obedient. That's a characteristic of a spiritually healthy and growing person in a spiritually healthy and growing community. They were being obedient, and the way that they were being obedient is that they were working out their salvation. This is a great word. It's the Greek word ergazomai. It doesn't mean, these are not words that say work for your salvation. It's one term, ergazomai, which means to work out what's already in there. Publicly express what is privately true. Externally express what is internally true. And express it, by the way, it means to work it towards its goal. So this one term has the idea of you as a new person in Christ, live out that new life to its full sanctification, maturing, discipleship goal. Live like a Christian. Jesus is in your life. Let him live through your life. That's what he's saying. It's part of this spiritually growing community. It's part of what we are to invest in each other to help each other experience. That's what Paul's saying. I helped you experience this, and in my helping you to experience this, I receive joy. In the fact that you actually did experience it, I receive even more joy. The fact that you did experience it gave you joy. The fact that you knew that I got joy from helping you experience it gave you even more joy. Do you see where it's going? It's this joy multiplication that happens when we are relationally connected to a growing community, and we're serving that community, and we mutually empower each other to have joy. Man, the church is alive. The church of Jesus Christ, whether, as Pastor Jordan says, it's in Egypt or Lebanon, or many of us here have experienced in Haiti or anywhere in the United States or anywhere else in the world, it's alive because Jesus is the head of the church, and Jesus is in us, and Jesus has given us his joy. And when we seek after Jesus, and when we seek to help other people seek after Jesus, we experience a contagious joy. Starts with that relational connection to a spiritually growing community where there's obedience, there's working out of our salvation. And by the way, Paul says you work out what God works in. There's a healthy experience of God's part and our part. God is working in us. The Holy Spirit is working in us. He uses his word. He uses prayer. He uses people. He uses life circumstances. He speaks to us. He builds into us. And we're to work out what it is that he's building in. And both parts are necessary. If you just have working in and no working out, man, that's not balance. If you try to work out and there's no working in, that's not it. If there's no working in or working out, well, there's no connection to Jesus at all. But a healthy, growing church and a healthy, growing person is the experience of working out what God works in. Oswald Chambers, in his book, his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, he says this, remember that you've been saved so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in your body. Direct the total energy of your powers so that you may achieve everything that your election as a child of God provides. Rise every time to whatever occasion may come your way. You did not do anything to achieve your salvation. It's a gift of grace, but you must do something to exhibit it. You must work out your own salvation, which God has worked in you already. We're in danger of forgetting that we cannot do what only God does, and that God will not do what he's commanded us to do. We cannot save or sanctify ourselves. God does that. But God will not give us good habits or good character or spiritual disciplines. He'll not force us to walk correctly before him. We have to do that. We must work out our own salvation, which God has worked in us. So Paul's talking about a relational connection to a spiritually growing community where we're invested to help one another experience all these aspects of a spiritual growing community. He goes on to say that in everything you do, it should be done without grumbling or arguing. The word for grumbling is the Greek word gagousmos. I asked the earlier service about, there's an English term to describe when a word actually sounds like what it is. Someone, automatopoeia. Yeah, so gagousmos. Gagousmos, 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 gagousmos. Paul says there shouldn't be any of that in a relationally growing and healthy church. So, you know, when you get into your car and the door is shut, there shouldn't be a gagousmos, 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 gagousmos. When you're sitting at lunch talking about the sermon, it shouldn't be gagousmos, 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 gagousmos. When you meet for your community group before you get into doing your study and you're just talking about the way you're thinking and feeling about what's going on, it shouldn't be gagousmos, 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 gagousmos. See, anybody in the world can do that. But if you're wanting to get into this circle and stay in this circle, you got to get rid of the stuff that isn't consistent with the circle. And grumbling and criticism and gossip and negativity is not consistent with being in the circle. So he says, do everything that you do without gagousmos. Because we are living in a crooked and perverse generation. Paul wrote that in the first century. He didn't have to, you know, look at CNN or Fox News or go through the last COVID cycle or presidential election to figure out the world is crooked and perverse. Every generation has been a crooked and perverse generation. But the church is alive. We are like lights shining in the darkness. The healthy, growing community is the place where spiritual life is happening. The light of Jesus is shining. Joy is filling people's lives. Paul says, you want to have joy? Reciprocal, contagious joy? You got to be here in the circle, which means you got to be relationally connected to people who are experiencing this dynamic, people who are obedient, people who are working out what God's working in, people who aren't consumed with negativity and grumbling, people who, even though they know that they live in this dark culture, they're shining out the light of Christ. You be that kind of person, you get connected to those kind of people, and you help those people continue to grow, and you're going to have joy. And they're going to have joy. And your joy is going to be reciprocal. And it's going to be contagious. See, we live in a culture that's separate, fallen, distinct, apart from new life in Jesus Christ. And so what are we to be doing in that culture? We're to be like lights shining in the darkness. And it says, in the New International Version, holding fast the word of truth. See, it's God's word that grows us up in Christ. It's God's word that sanctifies us in Christ. It's God's word that makes us more like Jesus. That word is in Philippians 2, to hold fast, is the word epecho. It does mean to hold fast, but it also means to hold forth. So as the lights in this dark culture who are growing spiritually because we're holding fast to the word, we're to be holding it forth to people too. We're not just to be keeping it to ourselves. No, we're to be giving it away. That this is how other people can come into a relationship with Christ. This is how other people can experience the joy of the Lord. This is how the church it accomplishes its mission in the world by holding fast to the word and by holding forth the word. In fact, this morning, if you have come here as a guest or if you're watching online or maybe this is part of a journey that you've been on, but you'd say, not only am I not in the circle, I've never been in the circle. Let me hold forth the word to you this morning. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It says, but to as many as received Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Salvation is open right now to anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. It says in Romans 10:13 that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Today, this morning, you can call on the name of the Lord. You can believe that Jesus died for your sins and he rose from the dead. And you can turn and repent and ask Jesus to come into your life and believe in Jesus. And right now, you can ask Christ to come into your life and come into the circle and have your sins forgiven and receive the hope of heaven, the guarantee of new life in Christ. It's available. So even as we as a church are holding fast to the word, we're holding it forth to anyone who wants to believe in Jesus. That's a growing community. So joy, reciprocal joy, contagious joy is found in a relational connection to a healthy, growing community. And then Paul adds a really important element to this because he says, plus sacrificial service. Because he says, if this is happening in your life, then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice. Paul says, there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back. It's the day of Christ. All pain and suffering are going to be eliminated. God's going to wipe away every tear. All evil and injustice and sin is going to be judged. All wrongs are going to be righted. And all truth is going to be revealed. And Paul says, on that day, when the truth is revealed, if it's revealed that my service for you resulted in your spiritual growth, my gosh, the joy that I would have, I would so rejoice, and I would call you to rejoice with me. So this joy that's possible, that we're talking about, this joy principle, is found in a relational connection to a healthy, growing community plus sacrificial service. We invest to help one another grow. We invest our time, our talent, our treasure, our prayers, our best efforts, using our spiritual gifts. We put others before ourselves. We make an investment to serve so that other people will be filled up in Christ. See, and it's one of those, I used this term the other day and I said, man, it's going to be a word that's right up there with juxtaposition. It's counterintuitive. It's really counterintuitive. The more we give ourselves to others that others may grow, the more joy we feel. The more joy we feel. It's a contagious kind of a joy. That's what Paul's talking about. He even compares it. He says, even if my service is like a drink offering being poured out, it's one term in Greek, but it's making a reference back to in the Jewish system of worship, there were drink offerings that were given to the Lord. And he's kind of metaphorically saying, kind of my body, my energy, my psychic, my relational, my emotional, my spiritual energy, if it's just like poured out, but it's poured out in serving you, it's poured out in helping your faith, what that will result in? Joy. Joy. It's a crazy principle, but it's just really true. The more we serve God and serve others with a pure heart, the more joy God will put into our lives. So relational connection to a healthy, growing community plus sacrificial service results in a reciprocal, contagious joy. Paul says it this way in Philippians 2, He says, I'm glad and I rejoice with you all, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. That word glad is the word joy. It's the word kara in Greek, and rejoice is kairo. So he says, I have joy and I rejoice, so you too should have joy and you too should rejoice. And he does a playoff in the grammar of the Greek language, what's known as the indicative and the imperative. The indicative is what is, and the imperative is what ought to be and what should be, what's commanded. So what is? I got joy, and I'm sharing my joy with you. I rejoice with you. And because of this and your realization of this, this is what I'm commanded you. You have joy, and you share your joy back with me. And you see, it's like this antiphonal joy, rejoicing, that just, it builds up. It's contagious. It's palpable. And I'm telling you, when you're around a group of people that have it, you know it. When you're around a church that has it, you know it. When you're around a family that has it, you know it. And it starts to affect you. See, it's contagious. So the joy that God is promising in this joy principle not only fills us with joy, it gives joy to other people, and it explodes out in joy to others. And it's a relational connection, agapetos, to a healthy, growing community. I'm committed to helping other people grow to the point of actually serving them sacrificially. And then as a result, I have joy, they have joy, we have mutual joy, it's reciprocal, it's a contagious joy. So how can we experience that more and more here at Crossline? The church is alive. Well, I come back to some of these opportunities that are before us. You want to step into relational connection? We've got some great serving opportunities at Thanksgiving and Christmas with our food pantry, with Oasis Outreach, with people in our body who have needs. And we can be the means by which God uses our service to bless them. And we can do it together as a community group, as a men's group, as a women's group, as a Novo prayer cohort. Serve together. And take your connection with Christ to the next level. I tell you, another just practical way that we can experience this is by being a serving member here at Crossline. And November 14th, we're having our belong class where we talk about what does it mean to be a serving member? What's our history? What are our values? What do we believe as a church? What does it mean to be connected here at the church? What does it mean to serve here at Crossline? And if you're here and you've been coming and you've been blessed by our services and you've liked the people that you've connected, we'd love for you to be part of our family. We'd love for you to feel like this is the place where I belong. Become a serving member. Go to belong. Some of us, we are, quote unquote, serving members. So let's live like serving members. Let's take our relational connection to the next level. And whatever friends that we have here, maybe it's the people that we're sitting with right now. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's the small group that we're part of. Let's take it to that next level. Let's ask, how are you doing spiritually? How can I pray for you? What is God doing in your life? How can I be a part of it? Let's make that investment that takes us deeper in our growth in Christ so that we are part of the story of another person's life, helping them become all that God wants them to become. Because if we do that, we'll get joy. And our joy will be contagious, and we'll share our joy. See, God wants for His church and His people to experience a reciprocal, mutual, contagious joy. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that you'd take this word that has just been given from your word and give every one of us that hupakuo response, that attentive listening with a commitment to obey. May we put it into practice. And may Jesus be exalted. May people be blessed. May your word go out. May your church grow. And may we have joy. In Jesus' name, amen.